Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church ministry, to our YouTube messages, to our messages you can receive online at our website. We have CDs, number of things. We have the sermon audio as well that we are broadcast on. So it is a pleasure to be with you again, to bring you the Word of God. And I can promise you that the pastor and I are totally given to this, praying diligently that we'll be led by the Spirit of God in bringing you messages again from God's Word. I'm going to do things a bit differently today in the sense that I'm going to have an introduction before I actually give you the title of this message, an introduction to pave the way for us, if you will, into the message for this week, the Sunday school portion of the Grace Baptist ministry. The book of the prophet Isaiah says this concerning the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah 65:17, we have recorded the Lord God speaking. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. Of course, when he says former there, he means the former heavens and earth. And indeed, we are living in those times now. Note the mention of the first heavens and earth as being so completely gone that they couldn't be remembered, to the degree that they will never enter the mind of any soul again. You can count on that being a reality, because God is the one making the statement. Now, I know many people, if they were to watch this, probably won't occur, except God called them to view this ministry, and I pray that would happen. That is not a reality to so many people today, and a matter of fact, they would mock what we're saying. We're going to see that in the scripture in a moment. As to the prophecy of Isaiah that we just read there, the Apostle John, and this would have been about 800 years later, carried forward that very prophecy, Revelation 21:1. John the Apostle, as led by the Spirit of Christ, says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is not now." No more sea. The present earth and the heavens around and above us are destined to end. Where you live today is destined to end, and its entire earth as well. That end will happen quickly. When it does happen, it will be absolutely final and complete. You will not be able to say, along with so many who have uttered these words, "Remember the good old days?" I hear that often. Such talk, such thoughts will not come to mind at all. It's going to be that thorough. For Christians, at this time that we're speaking of now, when all of that is final and complete, we will be immersed. We will be consumed with intimately knowing Christ, free from any and all sin, and united to the triune God in everlasting fellowship, worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This will be the entirety of our being at that time. For those who don't know Christ on a personal, spiritual level, there will be no such glorious fate. Sinners without Christ will suffer the fate of those spoken of in Jude's brief but comprehensive letter. And I'm going to use two groups of words found in Jude's letter and combine them to give us a condensed view of the folks I've been speaking about and their condemnation. Jude, verses 7 and verse 13, combined parts of them. Undergoing a vengeance of eternal fire, to whom has been reserved the dismal prospect of the darkness unto eternity. And yes, if you check your Bibles, you're going to see that I'm not quite reading from the translations that so many of us have, and of course we all read, but I'm reading from a literal translation. An eternal fire, accompanied by the eternal darkness. My goodness, what a quite different, what a big contrast we have there. An eternal fire accompanied by eternal darkness. Two frightening entities suffered simultaneously. Can you imagine being consumed in an eternal fire, but things completely dark? Well, again, I think that darkness has to do more with a darkness of the mind, a darkness of the spirit. Today, we're going to take a closer look at the fire, mentioned so often in connection with the final judgment of mankind and the fallen angels. Of particular note is Matthew 25, where we see that judgment that I speak of now, and Matthew 25:41 is a point blank clear statement on the destiny of fallen humanity and the devil and his angels. Christ says this to those on his left who are condemned. Then he will say also to the ones on left, "Depart from me," the ones being cursed, "into the fire, the eternal one, the one having been prepared for the devil and the angels of him." This message today is primarily about this. Just what is the source of that fire? Is it a literal fire as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? We're going to begin by reading the entire third chapter of 2 Peter. And again, I read it from a literal text. Our title today, Reserved for Fire. Reserved for Fire. Peter writes, "This now, beloved, I am writing to you." Would you take that personally? Because that's exactly the way it's meant. "A second letter in which I am stirring up the pure mind of you in a quiet reminder to remember the words having been spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the ones of the apostles." Words spoken by the holy prophets and words spoken by the apostles through your commandment from the Lord and Savior. Now, did you hear that? That is extremely interesting. God has spoken to us today through the commandment from the Lord given through the apostles, from which we read right now. Knowing this first. I mean, that's right there. First of all, know this, that scoffers, mockers, will come in the last of the days with scoffing, mocking. So folks, right away, realize that things you're hearing here are going to be mocked. It's what mockers and scoffers, those who are in a set position so often of never receiving the Lord Jesus Christ or the Word of God. But folks, such were some of us, mocked and scoffed at the Word of God. But thanks be to God for His patience, which we will see in a moment, whereby He bore with us, if you will, until He would call us away from that mocking. Now these scoffers, again it goes on, scoffers according to their own evil desires of them following. In other words, these scoffers are following their evil desires and saying, where is the promise of the coming of Him? They were aware of Christ's so-called second coming, the promise He made to return, and they mock it. For from whereof the fathers fell asleep, when Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these folks died, all things continued as they were from beginning of creation. Where is this coming you're talking about? It's been thousands of years and nothing has occurred. Indeed, willingly, this is concealed from them. What is concealed? That heavens and earth existed long ago, and earth out of water and through water, having been set together by the Word of God. We had water and we had the earth, and God separated them, the dry land and the waters, through which the world, losing my place here, through which the world at that time perished with water, having been flooded. The great flood, Noah and the ark, all but 8 souls perished from off the earth. The entire population of the earth, except for those 8 that God preserved. But the ones now, the heavens and the earth, having been preserved by the same word, exist for fire. Did you note that? This present earth, this present heavens, this realm is being preserved. They exist for fire, being kept unto a day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly human beings. Folks, that's a point blank warning from the one true God. You don't want to be an ungodly human being. One thing, however, not being hidden from you, beloved. This is not hid from us. It's told to us. We should know this. That one day with Lord, like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like one day. Now why does Peter say this at this particular time? Because Lord does not delay the promise, as some consider slowness. He does not delay the promise of His second coming, as some consider slowness. Remember here, time is not of essence to the Lord in this manner. Why? but is patient toward you, not willing any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Now, the grammar of that particular sentence, flat out, straight up, rebukes those who say that God is talking to everybody and he wants everybody to repent. No, that's not what it says. He is patient to you. Keyword, you. Not willing any of you to perish, but all of you to come to repentance. Now, folks, again, that's the grammar of the sentence. You have two adjectives and a noun. You have the you, which is your noun, the any and the all, which is the adjective area. Very simple. We could go back to a middle school English and figure that out for you. But that's the way that it is. None of God's elect will perish. All of them will come to repentance. And thanks be to God for his patience. We would hasten the coming of the Lord, but my. We in our hearts want that to occur. Of course we do. But God has some elect still to call. And until he calls that very last one in, things will continue, as we see in that scripture. However, day of Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens with a roar will pass away. Folks, think about that. This is not a myth. It's not a joke. It's not Disneyland. This is the truth. The heavens with a roar will pass away. Can you imagine standing outside and that would occur? What a momentous, overwhelming occurrence this will be. Elements, then burning with heat, will be dissolved. And earth and the works in it will not be found. Folks, it's just going to disappear. It's going to be gone. And you will never, ever be able to get that back. All these things being dissolved in this way, from what we've just said, all those things being dissolved in that way, what sort, what kind is it necessary you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Folks, seeing that this is going to be the end, how are we behaving now? Because it's going to come like a thief. You're not gonna be ready in the sense of it occurring. You're not gonna be able to say it's gonna be now, it's gonna be then, it's gonna be it. Nuh-uh. It's gonna be like a thief who kicks in that door, and there you are. Mm-hmm. Expecting and hastening the coming of the day of the God, by reason of which heavens being set on fire will be dissolved, and elements burning with heat are melting. Again, he repeats himself there to give added emphasis to the gravity of this happening, because it's going to happen. Nonetheless, according to the promise of him, we are awaiting new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. I cannot tell you how many times I have prayed with that in mind, over and over again. This is absolutely at the center of things for me. Where there's righteousness, folks, there's peace. In this righteousness, that's going to be the case. Oh my goodness. How much I look forward to a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And what is Christ to you and I, as explained in the Holy Scriptures? Christ is righteousness. we'll be there with him, ourselves being righteous because of him. Therefore, beloved, expecting these these things, excuse me. Give me a little sip here. Therefore, beloved, expecting these things, expecting all this present heavens and earth to be dissolved with the fervent heat of fire, expecting a new heavens and a new earth, be diligent to be found without spot and without blemish by him in peace. Now, did you get that? It's saying it very clearly. Folks, you're not going to work it out all by yourself. You're not going to figure it out all by yourself. You're not going to get it done all by yourself. Being found without spot and without blemish. Being found without spot and without blemish by him in peace means that you're united to him and you're seen in Christ because you are in Christ. That's the only acceptable way to the Lord God, to God the Father, to be in Christ, united to him. And consider the patience of the Lord of us, salvation. Again, that very last one that's somewhere out there in the future would really appreciate this. That salvation will be due to the patience of the Lord God until he calls that last one in, folks. He is not going to return. Because remember what that return is all about. It's about judgment. Just as also the beloved brother of Paul, the beloved brother of us, Paul wrote. He also wrote about these very things that Peter is mentioning here. Again, reading it. Just as also the beloved brother of us, Paul, wrote to you according to the wisdom having been given to him. As also in all the letters, speaking in them concerning these things. Those letters Paul wrote would include these things, among which some things are difficult to be understood, which the ignorant and wavering distort, as also the other scriptures, to the self-destruction of them. My goodness. To reject the Lord God and his word leads to nothing but self-destruction of themselves. And then immediately Peter says this, you therefore, beloved, knowing beforehand. Now, he's told us a lot now, folks. We know it beforehand. Beware that not by the deceit of the wicked, having been led away, you might fall from the own steadfastness. There is so much out there in this world today, so-called Bible teaching, preachers and elders and bishops and apostles and prophets, men and women who would lead you away, who would deceive you. The deceit of the wicked to cause you to fall from the steadfastness you have in Christ. And what does Peter then say? But you grow in grace and in a knowing of the Lord and Savior of us, Jesus Christ. That's where you and I must be. To Him, the glory, both now and into eternity's day. Amen. And that's how that third chapter closes, and indeed the second letter. Now, I want to repeat for us from Peter's letter, dictated to him by the Spirit of Christ, some keys to unlock our path to discovering what is actually God's truth concerning that fire we have been speaking of, that fire spoken of in the Holy Scriptures. First, to repeat from Peter, realize people will mock what is in this message today. They're going to mock you if you repeat these things. The promise of the second coming of Christ is fairly well known in America. But after more than 2,000 years have passed since he was actually here on this earth, mockers, following their own evil lusts, just as Peter said, have even more reason. After 2,000 years, nothing has occurred. They have even more reason to scoff at another appearance of someone they have no interest in. That's the way it's viewed. I think about myself. When I was witnessed to by a young man, I've repeated this before, I thought it was foolishness. And now that I look back at it, what I was doing was mocking him. I was scoffing at him because I told him, point blank, I said this. I think Jesus Christ is the biggest fraud that there's ever been. Able to mislead all kinds of people with what he said. My goodness. My goodness. So I look with shame upon my mocking and my scoffing of the Word of God in reference to his Christ. And how many people today, really now, come on, think about this. How many people today do you think believe the history of the great flood? Noah and the ark and all but 8 human beings perished from off the face of this earth. I mean, how many people do you think take that seriously? So when Peter warns of a far greater catastrophe for the earth and its inhabitants, as well as the heavens, the mocking will continue, even though that catastrophe will be accompanied by the eternal destruction of those very scoffers. What they mock is going to be their fate. It's their destiny. It's what is going to occur to them. And brothers and sisters, every eye will see, every eye of all those who have ever existed will see what we're talking about here. This fire that is coming will dissolve the heavens and all the elements will melt. The earth and the works in it will disappear. They will not be found. People won't be able to look back at the millions and billions of dollars they made in this or that and pat themselves on the back for being a self-made man or self-made woman. That won't even enter their mind. That's going to be gone. Gone completely. Won't be able to fall back on that. What is this fire? What is this fire? Scientifically speaking, and you know, we just had this eclipse happen across our country. In many places, a total eclipse. At 12 noon It was totally black for some minutes. That was the Lord God displaying to everybody of his power to regulate the universe however he sees fit. What do you think? It's not just some natural occurrence because of the position of the planets. Who positioned them? It's pretty clear, folks, if you have a clear mind. Scientifically speaking, the Lord could send the sun toward the earth, and the earth and everything in it would be dissolved. The temperature on the face of the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Folks, everything would be dissolved. And guess what now? God is going to do just that with the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Malachi 4:2. Listen to Malachi 4:2. But to you who fear my name, this is very, very important. Do you fear the name of God reverentially from the heart, in love toward God? But to you who fear my name shall arise the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, with healing in his wings. The S-O-N is that S-U-N. The Father will send the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, also S-O-N, again. Please note, I'm going to read you some scripture now. Please note the following characteristics of this Son, this dual Son, the S-O-N and the S-U-N. 1 Timothy 6:16. Listen to this now. Can't deny any of these things. They're in the Bible. Christ dwells in unapproachable light, as does the sun in our solar system. You can't approach the sun, folks. You get too close and you are dissolved. Listen to some other scriptures now. Revelation 1:14. Describing the appearance of the Son of Humanity. The eyes of him like a flame of fire. His second coming is described in Matthew 24, verse 27. For just as the lightning comes forth from east and shines as far as west, so. Just as so will the coming of the Son of Humanity be. Lightning. Compare lightning with the sun. You're going to be surprised about this. I certainly was, but you can look it up and find it out anywhere. Lightning can reach 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 times hotter than the surface of the sun. Now that's been measured here on earth. Yes, the heavens will pass away, the elements will melt and be dissolved, and the earth and the works in it will disappear. But let's look at more scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see the Lord's second coming, where Christ renders the human being of sin, the man of sin, as it's called in the King James Version. And I've told you before, I believe that that is a representation of every reprobate sinner who wills not to come to Christ. Christ will render such people utterly useless by the brightness of his coming. You hear me? By the brightness of his coming. the Son of Righteousness. And that is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, if you'd want to look that up, about this human being of sin. Habakkuk 3:4, in speaking of Christ's brightness, says this: "And brightness was like the light. He had rays of light from his hand, and there his power hidden." The power of Christ in his unapproachable light. His power is demonstrated in and by that light. Now, what is that light? It's found in your Bible twice, actually, believe it or not. A consuming fire. A consuming fire. Now you need to listen to these scriptures very, very closely. Again, the first in Deuteronomy 4:24, which the Lord is a consuming fire. But that one in Hebrews needs to be explained. Really needs to be explained. Hebrews 12:29. It does not read that God is a consuming fire. It's not what it says. What it says, the God of us, a fire consuming. If it was a consuming fire there in Hebrews, that would mean what kind of fire it is. But it is a fire, and the word consuming is a verb. Again, that's the action of that fire. The action of that fire is to consume. This is the unapproachable light that Christ dwells in. Indeed, it says that the God of us, a fire consuming. He is that fire. But the text that sums up this identification the best text for of the fire for which the present heavens and earth are being reserved is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Remember, this present heaven, this present earth, are being reserved for fire. And you want to see that one? I sure do. Now I'm going to begin in the middle of verse 7, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and read through verse 9. I've actually read this to you before and explained it, but now it's in a bit of a different light. The revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with mighty angels of him, in a fire of flame, inflicting vengeance on the ones not knowing God. Now, folks, what does that mean? That means that these are those without an intimate fellowship with the one true God, an intimate relationship to the one true God. And on the ones not obeying the gospel of the Lord of us, Jesus, who will suffer these people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who will not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no relationship, no fellowship with God. These ones will suffer the penalty of eternal destruction from presence of the Lord and from glory of the power of him. And I've explained that to you before. That's not away from. It means the source of. Their suffering comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence. Their suffering comes from the glory of his power. Now that's clear. That's the way it is. Makes no sense if you read away from. Makes no sense at all. And we know those scriptures, you know. Christ is everywhere. He is found in the lowest parts of hell. Christ is omnipresent. The triune God is omnipresent. Everywhere, all the time. Folks, to stir up your remembrance. I want to stir up your remembrance. Christ is that fire of flame. The consuming fire who will cause the human being of sin to be rendered useless at the brightness of his coming. He is that consuming fire who at the day of the Lord will cause the heavens to pass away and the elements to melt, along with the disappearance of the earth, this present earth, and the works in it. In the brightness of his presence is the glory of his power. And from that glory and that glory's power comes the hell fire of those who are condemned, whether they are angels or human beings. Yes, the source of the penalty in hell, the fire that consumes those in hell, is Christ. Our God is a fire consuming. But for Christians, oh goodness, but for Christians, we are not those who are without Christ. We are not those who have no relationship to God. God is our Father. Christ is our elder brother. We have relationship. We have fellowship. But for Christians, Christ's fire, listen, Christ's fire will burn away the dross of sin and purify us like gold. And the glory which torments in hell will be the illumination of heavenly Jerusalem where God's people dwell forever. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon that they should shine in it. For the glory of the God enlightened it. And the lamp of it? The Lamb. The lamp. Now let me explain that. The lamp is the one by whom the brightness of that glory is beamed out to fill the city with it. And that lamp, Christ. There are those reserved for the fire of eternal damnation, coming from the glory of Christ's presence and power. Then there are those preserved for the brightness of God's glory unto eternal fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Quite a difference. Thanks be to God for His mercy to us.